Welcome to the Sons of Technology Clubhouse. Ditch your fear at the door, take a risk, and enjoy the ride. With your hosts, Joe Marquez and Kyle Anderson.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the podcast by the Sons of Technology. We are super excited to have you here with us today, because today we are going to be talking about you, you educators, and all the things you do that is not education related. The things, the talents that you have that you share with others, the talents that you have that you can make things, create things, and make a little bit of money on the side. I hear people call them the side hustle, but to me, a hustle is like you're trying to cheat people, and teachers have these amazing abilities. It's not a side hustle, right? It's a side exploration of everything that you can do. So that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. But before that, let's go ahead and introduce the panel that we have here today for you. So my name is Joe Marquez. I'm the Director of Academic Innovation for Q, and I'm one of the founders of the Sons of Technology. And as always, Kyle Anderson. Kyle, please introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. Kyle Anderson in Las Vegas, special education teacher. You can find me on Twitter at AndersonEdTech, and same thing with Instagram, and then my blog, AndersonEdTech.net. And then my book, To the Edge, Successes and Failures Through Risk-Taking, available on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and through my publisher, EduMatch Publishing. And Joe, you said that we had a special episode today, and we always have special episodes for one. But today, today is extra special because we got a couple newbies with us.
We absolutely do. We absolutely do. I love it when we have new members joining us for the first time in the clubhouse. And these two members are really good friends of mine. So let's go ahead and introduce them. Doug, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Oof, a lot of pressure after those great intros from you guys. I tell you, I have no publisher or anything along those lines, but Doug Conopelco, currently an education strategist for CDW, working with school districts throughout the Southeast U.S. Before that, you know, teacher, assistant principal, district administrator, adjunct faculty, any title I could find in education, grabbed that just prior to this role here in sunny Florida, and that's me.
Yeah, you know, you say in Florida, you know, in a month, Florida, there's a lot of stuff that's going to be going on in Florida. So we're with you. We're praying for you in that manner. Now, Tyler, a phenomenal educator. I've been talking with him for months and months and months, getting to know him. I'm super glad that he is now part of the EdTech Army. Tyler, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, hey, I am Tyler Keefe. I am a technology integration coach up here in Nampa, Idaho. This is my first year doing it, and what a year to start it, but it's a blast. You can catch me on Twitter at Keefe67, and believe it or not, and Joe, I've never told you this, but I am also a published author. I have written a short story in a book called Bible Lessons from Our Pets, and I was featured in there. One of my buddies wrote it. And I'll have to send you a copy of that. It's very short and sweet, but it's something I like to throw out there every now and then.
I love it. I love knowing all those and having it be a part of Bible stories for my. Can you tell me a little bit about that? That makes me very interested. Bible stories for my pets.
Yeah, Bible lessons from our pets. And what it is my buddy had this idea, and he asked a bunch of different people to submit short stories, and basically it's a way to tell a story that's related to the Bible or something that has been done through your pets to bring out what the Lord's doing in your life, kind of a thing. So it's really cool. It's some fun stories, easy read. But yeah, it's my claim to fame in the publishing world right now.
That's fantastic. And I love that concept right there. I myself am not a published author. One of my goals, though, was to be in as many books as possible. I go, how many books can my name be put into? Right. So, Kyle, thank you for letting me be a name in your book. Our power couple, Adam and Catherine, they have a book coming out actually in a few weeks, which I'm really excited about organic ed tech coaching. Hopefully, you guys will be able to see that. My name should be in that book
I wrote an endorsement for that book. So
yeah.
So my name's in that one too.
See, exactly. So our reach goes well beyond saying, are we in a published book? But Doug, you are a published author, not for a book, but you've had some articles published in EdTech magazine, right? Correct? So you are technically a published author.
Yeah, I had a really good conversation actually with somebody the other day about, you know, now that there are so many publications that are either exclusively online or that, you know, they post hundreds of things online a year, but maybe only two or three magazines a year. You know, where do you draw the line? Right. So when do you start saying I'm a writer? Right. Or when do you say, do you call it, oh, this was a published article or is that a published post? Right. So just different things like that and how the language has changed. And it was really interesting because this person was an author, right, of a book actually I just read. And she said, yeah, we don't try to even delineate between that anymore. You know, we've got, it's always an article and I don't care where it's published. So it was, you know, interesting conversation for sure.
Well, we can all say we are published podcasters at this point. So I think that should be a new thing. I'm a published author. Let's say we're a published podcaster.
Throw it on the resume.
There. Exactly. Whatever fits on the business card, I say, add it, go for it. Now, you guys know how difficult these last few months, it's almost 8 months now that people have been in this status of, are we going back to class? Are we not going back to class? What's going to happen? Distance learning, hybrid learning. Everybody's in this mode, and teachers have been working their butts off to get to a point where they can, number one, understand the technology, because you all know that changes constantly, right? Kyle, you in Nevada, a lot of teachers were proficient in Google Classroom and they all had to transfer over to Canvas. Right? Having to be able to switch over at a moment's notice to utilize a new kind of LMS is difficult enough, but also having the students having to learn it and having to get, it is just wearing people down. And this episode is about what lifts you up, because sometimes we just have to unplug and we have to be, you know, we have to dig deep into our soul and say, what makes us happy? And for some, it's working out. I'll tell you, waking up in the morning, taking a walk with my dog and running on my treadmill, that clears my mind. That really helps me out. For others, it's building and creating, being artistic, being a creator. And we have two fantastic creators here for, you know, Doug and Tyler. You're both really great graphic artists. Teachers are talented people. We are more than who we are in the classroom. We are part of the human condition. And as part of the human condition, we always want to better the lives of others through some kind of creation. And that's what we're talking about here today. What are we doing in our own spare time to free our minds of all of the worry and the frustrations and you know, the things that we go on in our Zoom rooms or classrooms? What do we do in our spare time that really brings us joy? And do the things that you do. Do you do it for others? Do you do it for free? Do you do it for a price? Those are the things that we're going to be talking about today. So, Doug, I know you are a very talented graphic artist. You have a very unique skill in creating and coming up with very great ideas for educators and others alike. Can you tell us a little bit about that creation process, how that helps you kind of free your mind and allow you to be joyful and what you've done for others?
Sure. So, I mean, first of all, I appreciate the compliment there. And, you know, it's definitely been an interesting road, right? So when I was teaching, you know, one of the things I had started to do was also coach, and I was coaching the girls' golf team at our high school and was trying to make shirts for the team. Right. And going out there and not really happy with what we were seeing. And the team wanted something that was custom just for the team. So started playing around in some of the graphic software. And I'd say about 2 years later, after going through that and making things just for, you know, originally just for myself, just to unwind, like you said, you know, spending 10 and a half hours at the school each day, then, you know, coming home once everybody was asleep at home, kind of saying, okay, what am I going to do for me? So working through, you know, learning different programs. We were joking before we started recording about, you know, learning some new programs recently. And that's really what I was doing, watching every tutorial I could watch, trying to figure out, you know, what I was going to do. and, you know, learn programs like Adobe Illustrator, like there was a free GIMP was the name of it, right?
Oh,
GIMP
I remember
was
the name that, yeah. of
it. So, you know, that's like a free version of Photoshop, an open source version of Photoshop. And, you know, it was really nice to learn those programs. And then, you know, we had a family friend who was starting a business, and they said, I need a logo. Could you make a logo? And I said, sure. Yeah, absolutely. And they said, how much do you charge? And I remember thinking, I don't know how much I charge. You know, over the years, it went from being something that I was doing just out of enjoyment, right? And just to decompress and unwind and just to learn something new and kind of stay nimble. I'd probably say 3 or 4 years after that, I formalized it, right, as an LLC, to start really using it as you said, a side hustle, right, for a while. And it's definitely grown. I've definitely grown over time, and I even went back at one point and redid the original logo that I had made just so that I could say, like, this is what I would do now, right, if I was there. Because, again, it's not just about what's the job that you're getting paid for, but when you're learning a new skill like that, it's about going back, it's about practicing, it's about, you know, looking at what are the things we've done before and how can we do them better, just like when we were just talking about writing. Right, going back and looking at things that you wrote before and thinking like, oh, that was not so good. And then, you know, reworking it and thinking about how you might change that. So, you know, I've been really, really great journey.
Now, Doug, did you go to school to be a graphic artist? Did you go to night classes or anything like that? Or did you learn everything on your own through tutorials and YouTube and other places that you could do it at just in the comfort of your own home, just because of, out of need? Is that how it came about?
Yeah. I mean, it started as, I don't want to pay somebody to do this work for the team. Really, we don't have any money, right? As a school team that wasn't basketball or football, we didn't have, you know, money to put towards something. So it started out of necessity. But then also as it started to grow and I started to understand the work, you know, it kind of grew into the business and it was entirely self-taught or tutorial taught or however you want to call it. I, you know, did not even know those programs existed when I was in college.
And that's phenomenal. That's what you tell our students all the time, right? Like it's, hey, if you don't know how to do something, you could definitely ask me. I know they also say the thing like ask two before you or something like that. Ask three before me, something like that. But also YouTube is a fantastic place for students to go and learn skills. I mean, right now, YouTube and Twitch are the places that students go to learn the best way to defeat a level or tactics in a game, right? They're learning skills, so why not utilize the resources that are out there, just like you've done? And I know, Doug, you would agree with this. Other people can do that exact same thing. Other teachers can do that to help out their school and their community and maybe earn a little extra money on the side, but students can do this as well. I always love to tell my students that age doesn't matter anymore. You can be a business owner at any age, as long as you have passion and you have the ability to learn things, right? I mean, some of the highest paid YouTubers are like 13-year-old kids, which is, you know, both funny and depressing to me, but it's amazing, right? And I want to, you know, throw it over to Tyler here because, you know, Tyler's in that kind of same boat, right? Tyler, you do some graphic design, you do some photo touch-ups. I'd love to hear your story about what you do and how you got there.
Yeah, so crazy enough, I started college going into communications and wanting to do like sports journalism, be on the news, sportscaster, you know, that kind of stuff. And after my freshman year of college, I'm like, yeah, this is fun, but this just isn't me. I come from a family of teachers. And so I switched majors and went down that road. And it wasn't until my first or second year of actually teaching where that communication side came back out and I was able to start making, you know, it's just some simple graphics using just PowerPoint, actually, creating things for my school. And, you know, just the flyers, you know, that kind of stuff, the simple stuff. And then in 2016, my son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and I took a lot of time off of work to help him out. So I was able to jump on. One of my best friend's wife is a photographer down in California and now has moved up here. And she needed a virtual assistant to do those kinds of things. So I was able to jump on with her. And just like you said, Doug, learning those skills, I had to use YouTube. I had to find tutorials and just figure it out on my own. To now, I, you know, like you said, you look back and see what you did. And for me, now I'm doing this stuff for school. I remember that classic, you know, the term now, Black Friday, that March 13th, when everything just basically went dark and we had to go online. And I remember that weekend just creating video after video of tutorials for parents and students. But I was using Adobe Spark to make those. And I look back, I'm like, oh, that was bad. But, you know, it got the job done. And I transitioned from Spark. And like you said, OBS, I've, you know, now learned how to use OBS really well, not to the point where I don't have minor mix-ups, like forgetting to turn my mic on. But that happens. And, you know, I believe it was you, Doug, who, you know, I sent out a link like, hey, you know, I just need some feedback. And you were able to offer some. And, you know, I took that and able to just the two videos I recorded today that I'm in the middle of editing, you know, adding those things in there. And that part is huge, being able to have that community, you know, as Joe, you keep saying, the community, nice little plug for you. Have that so that we can grow together. And being able to do the graphic stuff on the side that I'm doing now, it's, you know, it's still there. I'm still able to do it to make some extra money for some liquid beverages every now and then. And to be able to take that and do things that are fun. You know, within my school, we have a laser cutter. So I'm starting to get down that road and have some fun with that. And just kind of, you know, have fun, but also want to make some money on the side, because that never hurts anyone.
Are you sure? It doesn't hurt anybody if you make a little extra money? No?
Nope. Not that I'm aware of.
No, I agree that, you know, a lot of the things that we do that we start to get passionate about is out of need. It's like, oh, somebody needs to learn how to make a program for the volleyball team. Hey, you're a tech person. Figure it out for us, please. Or, hey, we need to do a principal's honor roll medallion video. Can you figure that out for us, please? And out of necessity, you don't, and I guess also out of pride, you don't want to say, I don't know how to do that. You just say, sure. And then you figure it out, right? You kind of put yourself in the hot seat, but then you actually learn a new skill that can benefit others. And Tyler, like yourself, like you said yourself, you can benefit yourself by making a little extra cash on the side, right? Kyle, I know you had a passion for beer, right? And you created, you know, the Beer EDU podcast. But you've, over time, because part of the podcast is at the end, you give a history of the beer, a makeup of the beer, different floral patterns of the beer. You've become a concierge. What do they call the wine people that know all the different things of the wines?
A wine sommelier.
A sommelier, yes. So you are like a sommelier, but for beer. I don't know what they call that, a homer. Tell me a little bit about some of your passions and how that's turned into, it doesn't necessarily have to make you money, but something that just fills your soul with joy that you can share things with others.
Well, to be called potentially the beer version of a wine sommelier, that would be an incredible honor, but I am far, far, far from that. So I do like to say I have a pretty good palate, and I have actually judged homebrew competitions here in Las Vegas as a non-certified judge in the past. And in fact, there's one coming up pretty soon. I need to contact the Homebrew Association, see if they're still looking for judges, because it is definitely a really fun time to go and do that. Because basically what it entails is that over the course of a few hours on a Friday night and then a few hours on a Saturday, I get to taste dozens of different beers that people have made in their homes and rate them and judge them. So, and sometimes there's some really good ones that eventually become award-winning beers in the local area, because they will enter them into competitions with some of the local brewers, and then the winners get them brewed at the brewery. And in fact, one person that I have met and become friends with through that homebrew club, he actually has his own brewery now called Astronomy, or excuse me, not Astronomy. He worked for Astronomy Ale Works for a while, but he has a brewery in Las Vegas now called the Mad Fermentist, which is his beers are incredible. So, but long time ago when I was in college and of course of legal age, you know, I drank only the finest of the macro lagers that are out there. So now I joke about that, but I never really was into what the quintessential cheap beers were in college. Like, you know, I didn't like the Busch Lights and the Bud Lights and whatnot. So I always would spring for a little bit better beer when I did it. But even then though, it was like my favorite go-tos were either Molson Canadian or Labatt Blue. So going to college in Michigan, we had access to a lot of the good Canadian beers. So, but as I got a little bit older, I started to experiment in trying other beer styles, not just the standard lagers. And one of the first ones that I really truly began to love was Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, a beer that has, well, I'm just going to say a lot more flavor than a lot of these standard beers out there. There's a lot more hop character to it. Sierra Nevada Pale Ale has a really nice pine flavor to it. So, which if you're not a beer drinker, this may sound just absolutely disgusting to you, but it's something that different types of hops bring out different kinds of flavor profiles. And pine is one of those that is very pleasant usually in beer, especially if it's balanced well enough. So over the course of time, I began to try more and more beers and start appreciating, first it was the pale ales and then the IPA. So that is still probably one of my favorite go-to styles, the India Pale Ale, which are the ones that are very super hoppy for the novice beer drinker. But I also started to branch out into other beer styles too that I never really tried before or liked before, if I had tried them, whatever. So over time, my palate has come to not drink beer like I did in college, where let's see how many we can drink and still remember the next day or something like that. Now it's more of, it's an experience. So when you go to a fancy restaurant and you spend $200 on your dinner that night, you might still be hungry at the end of the night, at the end of the meal. But it's not so much about how much you had to eat. It's about the experience and what you ate. And to me, that's what beer drinking is now too, where I buy beer that A, I typically have never had before. I don't like to repeat beers very often now because I like to try new stuff. And I try to make an experience out of it. So there's a whole process to what I do. And a lot of beer drinkers will do the same thing where, you know, I'm examining the color profile of a beer. I'm examining the nose on it. So I'm putting the beer up to my nose and smelling it and picking up whether it's floral characters coming from it or pine, or you get into the darker beers, or whether there's chocolate notes or like dark fruits in different things. Then when it comes to the tasting, taking a sip and like holding on to it to try to pick up the different flavor profiles and not just the overall profile. It's like, what does it taste like when it hits your mouth? What does it taste like partway through? And then what's the aftertaste like? So there's all these different steps that I take to drinking beer. And then I have the Untappd app, which is, it's kind of informal. It's like social media for beer, where you check in to beers and you can share them with friends and you can rank them on a 1 through or 0 to 5 scale or whatever. So, but with my time working with the Homebrew Association judging competitions in Las Vegas through the beer judge certification program, they have their style guides, what different sorts of beers are supposed to look like, what they're supposed to smell like, taste like, et cetera, et cetera. And I've really learned from not only from the style guides, but also the certified judges that I got to work with in judging those competitions. And it was always reassuring to me and a lot of fun when I would sit at a competition with my partner judge and we would have our score sheets. We taste the beers and we always said, we don't talk until after we fill their forms out. Then we go back to it, because the rule was when you judge, you had to be within 5 points of each other. It was like a 45 point scale. And it was really reassuring to me that I would be working with these experienced certified judges and I would normally be within 1 or 2 points of them on the scales that we were judging on. So it became something that I really enjoy. I enjoy beer. Sometimes I have enough to where it makes the experience even more joyful, not so much the next morning, obviously. But again, it's something I like to experience now, not just for the buzz that you went after in college. So, and if you're going to be doing fall Q here in a few weeks, I'm actually going to be doing a webinar on beer tasting 101 and kind of give away some of my tips on how I do this. Now, is this the scientific perfect way that you should be drinking beer? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know, but it's something that I do. I'm passionate about, and I'm going to be sharing that in a webinar format for fall Q.
You know, Kyle, I'm glad you're saying everything that you're saying, because it goes to show that you don't have to, I mean, you know, you have beer snobs, you have wine snobs, and, you know, they go to these different classes and all these things. And somebody who just loves to drink beer and can pick out those notes and can pick out the ingredients and understand it, just being passionate about the process, that's all you need. Like, Kyle, I can see you going on to like Etsy and saying, you know what, I'm going to do weekend beer tastings. So if you'd like to hire me, you can sign up for an hour. I'll give you a list of craft brews you should get. And that night we will drink through them and I'll tell you what to look for and this and that. I can see you doing that relatively easy. And trust me, there is a business in that, because wine tastings, virtual wine tastings, we looked into it. $800 an hour, Kyle. People are charging $800 an hour just to tell people which wine to buy and then what to look for as they're drinking it. It's ridiculous, but you can do that and you're passionate about it, right? And you wouldn't be doing it for the money, but it wouldn't hurt that you made some, right? It doesn't hurt anybody, right, Tyler? It allows you to go in and be passionate about what you're doing, provide a service for somebody else, and then showcase what you've learned on your own. And I will tell you, I started looking up homebrew association certifications because I'm like, that's a badge that I want, right? But you have changed me, Kyle, exactly the same way that you talked about changing yourself, because I would go down the beer aisle, and I know this is an education podcast, but hey, educators drink beer, okay? You go down the aisle, and I would look at a 4-pack of craft brew, right? 16 ounces, 4-pack of craft brew, $10, and then $18.99, a 30-pack of Bud Light. I'm like, oh, that's so much, that's such a better deal. But it's not about the amount. It's not about the deal. It's about the experience, right? Do you want to drink something that tastes like dirty water? Or do you want to taste something that was crafted by people who are passionate about what they do? And so now when I go down the aisle, I look for new experiences, not how much can I drink, right? And, you know, that helps me maintain a healthy weight lifestyle also, because I can't be buying $50 worth of beer every time I walk into a Walmart, right?
But well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm glad you say that, Joe, because some of my best friends have had a similar experience with me. So a really good friend of mine that I have known here in Las Vegas for at least the last 12 years or so, he was the typical macro drinker when I met him. And I still remember the night where I kind of introduced him to it. There's a craft beer bar not far from where we live here in Las Vegas. And we were going to meet up there one night, and I told him as we were walking, I'm like, you can't go in here and order a Bud Light because they're going to laugh at you if you do. Okay. So just follow my lead. I will introduce you to some stuff, and they do taster flights and whatnot. So it wasn't about like him ordering a 20 ounce beer, taking a sip and hating it, and then having to spend $12 on it or something like that. So I introduced him to a whole bunch of different things. And now he even said, it's funny you say this, because just the other day, I gave him a couple of cans of stuff that I picked up when I was in Michigan, and he texted me and said, I just had those that beers that you gave me. And I got to say, thank you once again for introducing me to good beer. So, because you're, and Joe, even your beer tasting since I've known you has shifted. And I don't want to say I'm the reason for that, but I feel like I have a little bit of an impact on that.
You do. You do. And that's what I'm talking about. It's sometimes now, I don't even want to say sometimes, the passions that we have as humans, okay, gets exuded towards the people that we hang out with, right? And it's seen. And so sometimes teachers think, oh, I'm just dabbling in this, or I'm just doing this, you know, on the side because I love it. But it can be turned into, you know, a little bit of a side hustle, or it can be turned into something that you can, you know, showcase to your friends or your family on these different ways. And I'll admit it, Kyle, you've helped me really appreciate the history of beer. Number one, I mean, I mean, I think there's a debate right now on whether beer or bread was the first thing invented, right? And there's also a debate on whether when people traveled long distances, did they carry water, which can get infected with bacteria, or did they carry beer, which was usually bacteria resistant? And they're finding out, more people probably carried beer, which is a very good road trip, by the way. So you're helping people learn to appreciate what they are experiencing, right? It's not about the amount, it's about the experience and the camaraderie that comes along with that. And you've helped me experience that. And I'm not ashamed to say that when I was traveling a lot for my previous company I worked with, I would select a hotel near a craft brewery just because I wanted to be able to walk there and not have to worry about getting an Uber or anything. So, you helped me do that, right? And so I appreciate you in that matter. And I want our listeners to understand that you may think you dabble, or you may think you have a hobby, you may think this, but you are affecting people. You are affecting change. And once again, it doesn't have to be the educator you. It's the human you. And I want us to remember that, because right now, a lot of us are just being bogged down by so much happening in our job, so much happening with our students, so much happening with our administrators and our parents. And we have to realize there's another part of us. There's another part of us that makes us happy. And yes, we love to change lives of students. We love to teach. We love to learn. But we're human beings also. And we have to be able to admit that we need to take time for ourselves. Now, I'm not saying I hope people aren't listening to this going, yeah, I'm going to tell my wife I need to take time to myself and I'm going to drink beer this weekend. I hope people aren't thinking about it that way. But what I'm saying is, you have talents that go beyond your classroom. You have passions and creativeness that can go beyond your classroom. I just want you to investigate that a little bit more. Because I think when you investigate your passions during the weekend, you are more passionate teaching during the week. And I'll tell you, I am not a graphic artist. Here's one of my graphics that I created a while ago. It's called the Tacos logo. And what we were doing is we were teaching teachers, prospective teachers, ways to teach in STEM. And we had a NASA grant with this. And so we called it Technology and Aerospace Collaboration Opportunities in STEM, the Tacos program. And that was the shirts all the students wore. You can tell I am not a graphic artist, but
you nailed it, Joe. You nailed it.
Is it making you hungry?
Yeah.
But it was fun for me, right? So you don't have to be completely polished. You just have to have fun. And then some of the things that I do, it's just because of my creative side and because of things that I like. So went back in college, you know, poor college people, right? You know, you're working, but you're going to school. You want to make a little extra money. I used to mod Xboxes. And so people would bring their Xboxes over. This is the old brick Xboxes, the big giant ones that were all solid black with the green jewel in the middle. They would come over and I would spray paint them with any colors that they wanted. You know, there's a lot of Raiders people that wanted to go. There was a lot of Seahawks people that were wanted to go. I'm sorry, Tyler. I liked Bob's Big Boy. That was my nickname in college, was Big Boy. And so I painted it, the Bob's Big Boy, red and blue. But the great thing about it was I learned electronics. I learned the diodes, and I learned where, when you hit the jewel in the middle, I learned which part of the motherboard actually acted as the instigator for the jewel to light up. And so then I created light up jewels. So people would hit it and the jewel in the middle would light up. These are things that made me passionate. And then, you know, simple things like building with your hands. You know, things that just come to you. I wonder if I could do this, or I wonder if I can make this. And you can end up making things like wooden flags. I see a lot of teachers making these things, and it's super simple to make, but the time and the process that you put in to do that. And, you know, sometimes people call me a trash digger, because sometimes we have neighborhood pickups, people put trash on the side of the road. And I started walking a lot in the morning. And I would be the first trash digger, and I'd say, I wonder what I could do with that. Or I wonder what I could do with that. So I found this old solid cast iron desk right? The desks that flipped up, the desks that did this. I found this solid cast iron desk. I sanded it down and I spray painted it purple, and I made a desk for my daughters from this solid cast iron desk that people just threw away. Because when I'm walking by, I'm creative, right? Teachers are creative constantly. You're watching a movie, you go, oh, that would be great for my students. You're watching a television show, that clip would be perfect for this science lesson. Teachers are creative. And so when I'm walking, I'm like, what can I do with that? Or is that even worth picking up, right? Creativeness is teacher. Teachers are creative. And I'm saying this because sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we look at what we're expected to do, not how we can twist it to make it better. Sometimes we look at a textbook and follow it per chapter because we think we're expected to do that. And I say, rip it up. I know Matt Miller, right, who's a member of the EdTech Army, has ditched that textbook, would say, don't follow it complacently because you are a creative person. That's what teachers are. And so creativeness is within us. There's another thing, and being creative for others is another fantastic thing. As I was walking again, I found tons of reclaimed, some wood that people were throwing out. I'm like, that would be beautiful if I turned that into something. And so I made this for my mother on Mother's Day, right? And it's a board where you can put pictures all around it. Now this is a centerpiece of her home with all of our family surrounding it. It's a wooden board with an M right in the middle that could stand for mom, but also for Marquez at the same time. And I was passionate about doing this because I love my mother. I had fun doing it. And I learned how to do all of this through YouTube. And I learned how to do all of the angles from math, right? Kids are all the time asking, you know, how is this gonna relate to me now? How is this gonna do this? How is this gonna do that? Angles are incredibly important when doing something like this. And when I was teaching my eighth grade science class, every summer I would say that every last day, I'd say, here are three things my wife would like me to do. Here are three projects my wife would like me to do. What would you like me to do? And so one of them was building a window bench for my daughter's room. And so I planned it out. I designed it with just regular paper and pencil. I cut everything out. I built it in the room. And so now my daughters have a playroom of something that their dad made for them because he loves them so very much. They ask me, what else does your wife want you to do? And when I say once, I mean, she goes, hey, this would be a fantastic thing. So I'm not saying like demanding. It's like, she's like, hey, this would be great if we had this. And I'm cheap. So I will never pay other people to do things. And so one of them was to build a gazebo. I didn't just want a regular gazebo. I wanted an octagonal or hexagonal gazebo. So I designed it and built it. And now we have a great gazebo in our backyard. See, these are things that can inspire students because I didn't know how to work with wood. I didn't know how to do electricity. I didn't know how to do anything. But YouTube has all the answers. YouTube has all of this stuff, and it helps us understand that anything is possible. And it has nothing to do with how much education you have. It has to do with how much want and passion you have in your heart. And teachers have that in boatloads. Boatloads. Share that passion out with others. Now, I don't have time to build sheds for other people. I don't have time to build barbecue stations for other people. So I wouldn't go off and sell those things, but you can do them for yourself and your family, right? I want to ask you guys, what have you heard other teachers doing to quote unquote have a side hustle? I've seen a lot of people making cornhole things, right? That's a neat one. I've seen a lot of people making the flags. But what have you seen, Tyler and Kyle, that you've seen other people utilize as a teacher creative process?
Well, first off, Joe, I want to say I hope you never meet my wife in person because you and her think a lot alike. However, you actually create something in the end and not have a garage full of these reclaimed items that nothing ever happens with, as I'm sure she's listening on the other side of the store and going to bust in and, you know, throw something at me, but she knows I'm on camera right now. Got to make sure. But one of the teachers in my building, she actually does a lot with the vinyl cutters with her Cricut, and she's been selling these cups where, you know, it's completely personalized, you know, people can make whatever, and then she'll coat them with whatever the coating is so that it can go through the dishwasher and stuff afterwards, which is kind of like, I remember first hearing this, I'm like, nah, why are you doing that? And then I see how much she charges and actually does. I'm like, holy crap, I think you're onto something here. And if you need some help, let me know. And, you know, there's another teacher, the academic coach in my school, who I share our room we call the swamp with. She sold stuff on, you know, teacher pay teachers. And every now and then she'll get a nice little, you know, deposit into her PayPal or whatever it is. And it's stuff that she's had on there for 5-6 years. And she'll just go in and update it now and then. So it's those little things. I haven't seen anybody do anything crazy big with like the woodworking like you're doing, though that's awesome. And if you ever make it up to Idaho, I have a few projects that we can work on together. But, you know, it's those things where, like you're saying, the teachers are creative. We have these ideas that we want to do. However, there's always that other side of time with teachers. Like right now, my district, we're in hybrid, and going to eventually, hopefully, you know, bring more and more and more kids back. And that's just going to add to the time. But I remember when we were all, you know, at home in front of the computer, we had all the time in the world, if you really thought of it, to where we could be doing something off to the side and then jumping on a call and then keep working on it. I know for me, it was learning and doing a lot of the 3D printing and, you know, stuff like that, just really honing in on that skill. But to be able to make something, you know, like you're showing right there, the flag right there out of wood, it's really super cool, but really, really super simple at the same time. So, you know, the creativeness doesn't ever go away. And looking at the that desk you had right there, we actually did the similar thing where it wasn't one of the pop-top desks, but we took an old desk, we refinished it, we painted it, and we put whiteboard film over the top of it and was able to turn it into my son's desk, which I'll share the link on my Twitter, and I'll tag you guys in it, where he was actually creating his own YouTube channel. And this is when he was four, so three years ago. And because he had this heart that wanted to share out about his type 1 diabetes and to show other kids that, hey, it's really not that bad. So it's kind of fun. And my editing skills back then weren't as good as they are now, but we use that desk where he is sitting and you'll be able to see it. And it goes exactly what you said, you know, just seeing somebody else's trash and turning it into something useful. So it's kind of funny that, you know, you show that, and it brings me back to, you know, what really should have been a horrible time, but in all reality, it turns out to be something that we're able to turn into a positive. And the amount of hits and views that he's got on his videos for that has been insane. And it's not so much that we did it for money, because we don't need the money for that, but we're affecting other people's lives just in that positive way. And it's a weird feeling to when you get that message from another parent, hey, I watched your son's video and it really helped us put his Dexcom on without thinking it was going to be a bad thing. So it's really cool. And I'm hoping to do more and more of that stuff in the future as he's growing, he's becoming more articulate. But at the same time, for my family, it's fun to look back and be like, oh, that's what Zane sounded like, you know, four years ago. So it's a good memory as well.
You know, that's great, because, you know, when families do things together, you grow closer together. Like my daughter right now is really into this YouTuber who does things called Nerdy Nummies. And she makes bakery things that, you know, quote unquote nerds like, and she goes, Daddy, can we make this? Daddy, and she's getting really passionate about baking. And she's asking all the time, can we bake? Can we bake? And I love cooking. I love baking. And so, you know, finding time to do it is difficult, but knowing she has that passion, I mean, if she wants to bake and she wants to record herself and she wants to make her own YouTube channel like that, I'm going to be all for it with her, right? Because we have to be able to showcase to students that your passion can drive what you do. There's so many people in this world that hate their jobs. And it goes back to their family, and it goes back to how they act with their family, and it can destroy things. So if you could find a passion that you love and connect with your family, that's something that far outweighs anything in the world, right? And the kids today have everything at their disposal to make amazing things. Tyler, you were talking about how that one teacher in your building is using the Cricut vinyl cutter, right? I see a lot of STEM classes have that Cricut vinyl cutter. When I was teaching a STEM class, I had two or three of them. So my students can design a logo and print them out and put them on their own computers, right? I've seen teachers like Andy in our Sons of Technology group. He's doing his laser cutter, and he's making stadiums for people. Right? There's things that you have in your classroom that may not be used as much as they should, that, hey, practice and make things. Let kids practice and make things. I used to tell people all the time, I go, don't look at buying a Glowforge as, you know, an $8,000 purchase. Look at it as an $8,000 opportunity, because now your students can engrave things and then sell them for clubs. Now they can engrave things and make money for clubs. Over time, you're going to make all that money back, and your students are going to be more creative for it, right? And teachers are doing that all the time. Kyle, talking about, you know, you're being a beer sommelier, right? I've seen people, like I said, doing the wine tasting over computers, but I've seen teachers also doing yoga classes. Right? So live or pay for yoga classes, bring me into your class and we'll do yoga together. I had a fellow teacher, and this was before, you know, COVID happened. He would do weddings on the weekend, right? He had all of his DJ stuff, and he'd go out and do weddings on the weekend, and he loved it because he loves music and he loved being able to do that. These are things that define people, and they love to do them, and it brings them joy. And when you have joy in your life and joy in your heart, you bring that joy with you to the classroom. And what I really want people to understand is we're not telling you, hey, you have to find something to make a little extra cash. We want something to fill up your heart. We want you to take a break on the weekend. We want you to find yourself. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something you create. It could be something that you start doing just because you enjoy it, knitting. Right, we have a member in the Sons of Tech group, Kim. She does knitting, and she showed us a little baby Yoda that she knitted. I'm like, that's phenomenal. I want one of those, right? And just imagine how you feel when you're doing that. You get in the zone, but in the zone, not in an educational kind of spirit. And that's what I really want people to understand, because if you don't take time for yourself, you're going to get in a rut, and you're going to get downtrodden, and that's going to bleed into your teaching. And you know you don't want that. And sometimes it'll bleed into your relationships with your fellow teachers, right? And you don't want to do that. And so you want to be able to find things that bring you and other people joy on a daily basis. So just take time for yourself. Like I said at the very beginning, it doesn't have to be something you make. It could be a change in your lifestyle, right? It's no secret that I've been working on my lifestyle for the past 7 months. And I'll tell you, I feel better than I've ever felt in my entire life. And my wife was looking through photos from January this year, January 2020. And she says, you look like an entirely different person, and you act like an entirely different person in a good way. And I said, well, because I was depressed and I was unhappy, and it wasn't because of you, it was because of me. When I looked in the mirror, I didn't see myself. I saw a stranger, and I finally can see myself again, and I'm happy. And it goes into my work, and I'm happy with my work, and I'm happy doing what I'm doing, right? But you need to have happiness in your life so that you can show happiness to your students. And that's what I'm really trying to say here. Is we need to make sure that we take care of ourselves, because sometimes we are so selfless and we give and give and give and give, and we forget about ourselves. And we need that. And you know, pretty soon years go by and you don't even recognize yourself anymore. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about mentally also. You don't recognize yourself. You find yourself with a short fuse, arguing, mad. You know, and we need to bring ourselves joy. Right? Kyle, I've been talking a lot. I'm sorry, Kyle. Kyle, you know, you're around, you know, Tyler, you too, you're around teachers quite a bit. Have you seen a, and I know Kyle, you're in a different school, but have you seen a change in attitudes of some teachers? Like as this has progressed, are they getting more just short fused or more reluctant to do anything creative? Because they just want to get through the day. Like I was saying at the beginning of this, Friday has never been sweeter for so many teachers, right? You know, have you seen a change because of so much weight being put down on teachers today?
I can't really speak to that because, again, like you said, I'm in a new school. And it's funny that you asked me this today because I actually went to my school today for a few minutes for the first time since the last week of July. So there was an organization in the neighborhood of my school that had donated some gift boxes to teachers. And we got an email earlier in the week from the office manager of the school saying, these gift boxes arrived. Please come pick it up by the end of the week if you'd like it. So it included things like a coffee mug and a cookie. And then there was, I've always heard of these. They're Bombas socks. There was a pair of Bombas socks in there that they're supposed to be like some of the most comfortable socks in the world. And that they also, for every pair that is purchased, they donate a pair to a homeless shelter as well. So I actually went to my school today to get this gift box. And then I was also given the wrong keys to my room back in late July. And I had an email from early August that said, hey, the next time you're in school, we need to switch your keys out. We gave you the wrong ones. So then I emailed ahead of time. They said, hey, I'm actually going to come in. Can we switch those keys out? So I went there. And I walked in and the person that was up at the front of the school to make sure that you are who you say you are and that you have to fill out paperwork stating that you've not been exposed or have any symptoms to COVID-19 in the last 14 days, so on and so forth. And they kind of looked at me and I'm just like, I told them, I go, I swear I work here. This is only the third time I've ever been here, but I swear I work here. But then what was really nice is that I walked down towards the office to the person where I need to swap out my keys. And she come around the corner. She saw me and goes, oh, Mr. Anderson, good to see you. I'm like, you remembered me and I'm wearing a mask. That's incredible. So I really can't speak to my coworkers, whether they are feeling that way, but I can speak for myself that I do find myself getting a little bit irritated more easily at times. I find myself, even after sleeping sometimes over 8 hours in a night, I still find myself exhausted a lot of times. I have not been working out like I should be because sleep is just so much more enticing than going and getting up and going for a walk, which I need to, now that it's cooling off here in Las Vegas, I think it's going to be easier for me to try to get out and do that because mornings have actually been down in the 60s at this point, which is beautiful. So I'm going to be working on that a little bit. But the motivation to do certain things, I mentioned this on my other podcast that I hadn't written a blog post in almost 2 months and I love to write. So it's not the lack of ideas for writing. It was just the sheer will to do it after spending 8 hours a day in front of a computer. The last thing I want to do is continue to be on a computer staring at a screen and writing. So I put that off. It was, like I said, almost 2 months before I finally wrote one. And I finally kicked one out the other day and it felt good. Once I wrote it, it felt great. Like I had this weight come off of me just by writing stuff down. It was amazing. And I've got another one I'm working on right now about like song lyrics for educators, which I'm really excited to write that one just because I just love music so much. So, and then, but one way I have tried to relieve some stress lately is I've been actually discovering a lot of new music as of late. So the lead singer of the Descendants, the quintessential punk band of the 1980s, lead singer, he kicked out an acoustic ukulele album which is incredible. It's only a 3-song EP, but I will be ordering that 7-inch vinyl when it's available. And then another one of my favorites, Less Than Jake, announced they got a new album coming out in December and released a new song.
I love Less Than Jake.
Yeah, they're releasing a new album in December, so I'm really stoked about that. And then
Losing Streak is one of my favorite albums.
Oh, incredible album. That one, Hello Rock View, that's like my high school experience right there. And then I got a pretty significant Amazon gift card from my parents for my birthday, and I was able to go on Amazon, and I think I bought either 8 or 9 vinyl records of different bands, like some Rancid and Pennywise and Bad Religion. So I've got all sorts of, well, not new music, but new vinyl to listen to. So I've been really unwinding a lot with my music lately, and it's been a lot of fun to do that.
That's very good. And you know, to close us out, Tyler, what about you? I mean, you're in a new position this year as a technology coach, curriculum coach, and you're working with multiple grade levels on helping them hone their skills in technology and making sure they're bringing their curriculum and instruction up to par for this kind of new format that we're teaching in. Have you seen a change at all in motivational factors and people getting tireder going through? Have you seen any kind of change within a staff?
Yeah, you know, we're lucky enough to be in hybrid right now, where we have two different sets of kids, you know, an A day and a B day. We call them blue and yellow, but it's been interesting. The first 3 weeks of school, we were still on distance learning compared to doing crisis learning in the spring. And even though we're really proud and, you know, I still can't speak enough of what we did last spring, but starting this year, after about 3 weeks, you could tell teachers were getting kind of done with it, I guess. And for lack of a better term, like you said, Kyle, they were tired, they were exhausted. And when that first Monday, when we were able to bring kids back, I think 3 weeks ago now, I remember I was outside on bus duty, and I remember getting the kids off the bus. And even though they had their masks on, which they did, they're doing phenomenal with the masks. But you could tell that those kids were so excited to be in school, and you could feel it when you walked through classrooms because the teachers were excited to have their kids back, even though it was, you know, half a classroom and they're all distant, but you know, the teachers were really, really excited. They were happy. And what was cool about that was seeing that change from the spring till now. But then this week, it did kind of take that change, you know, where some teachers are starting to get exhausted again. And we reminded teachers that we have a STEM showcase coming up at the end of November. And, you know, my school, we're a STEM school now. And it was funny because some of the teachers were like, holy crap, are you serious? And they started like, nope, this isn't going to work. Nope, nope, nope. And we saw that, and then we gave them time to sit and talk as grade levels. And then you started to see the ideas flutter, the ideas come out, and you could see the excitement in their eyes again. And so I'm walking around because they're asking me, what can we do with technology with this? What components can we do? And going from one, it was first grade, and it was awesome because it's a group of awesome ladies, and they basically wanted to code the Sphero balls to do like kind of like a marble run. And they're like, but we can't figure out what kind of a problem that's going to solve. And I said, okay, well, do you have a bunch of, you know, paper plates and a bunch of other random things in your classroom that are just taking up space? I'm like, well, yeah. I go, well, there's your problem. You have these materials that need to get used and reused in a different way. And to see their eyes, like, we never thought of it that way. And then they started to get excited again. And this was on Wednesday. And even through today at the end of after school duty, fourth grade was up talking to me about things and they were excited. So it was like, it was perfect timing to relight the fuse. And, you know, there's always going to be hiccups. There's always going to be those things that come up, but to be able to push through, rejuvenate the staff, which means our kids are excited. And when they were leaving the building today, as I was putting them back on the bus, you know, they're telling me, hey, I get to code a Sphero, or I'm going to play with the Sam's Labs and build it to do whatever. And to see that look of excitement again, it really helps our staff and our students understand, like, yeah, times suck right now. We know this is tough, but you know what? We can make the most of it and have some fun while doing it. And life's never going to be the same. We understand that, but we can make the most of it and adapt and move on and kind of make it our quote unquote, in the worst phrase in the world that everybody's tired of hearing, the new normal. So, you know, it's one of those things that I hope we can keep the momentum going. And in my new role, I got to figure out how to do that for not only myself, but also a staff full of teachers that need more and more support. And I'm lucky to have found you guys to be able to do that. You know, I love learning from you guys. You know, I haven't been able to get on till now for doing the podcast with you, but it's been one of those things where it's, I don't think it is, but it is. It's kind of one of those life changers where you realize there are other people out there that are just like you. You know, you talked about, I can't think of it, Adam doing those laser cutter things and some of the things that he's doing. It's like, holy crap, there's another nerd out there that likes doing that stuff too. And it's fun because you realize that your world, even though right now it's the four walls in your own house, or you can go to the grocery store and back, or some of us going to the school, there's more and more people out there, and we got to stay connected. You know, we've got to do that for teachers, for the students, for all of us to stay sane, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, right now, and I think your story goes to that creativity that we've been talking about. It's when you get out of the norm, when you shake off the rust, when you can have those creative juices flowing, you get that rejuvenation factor. Right. And that's happening in your school, but a lot of teachers, they don't have that. So you need to get that rejuvenation factor outside of school, and it doesn't have to be school related. And that's what this entire podcast was about. Find what makes you happy. Find what makes you creative. Find what makes you healthy. Find what makes you sane, whether that's unplugging, untalking. If you just want to zone out with your family, that's what you need to do. But that's what we're imploring you to do. Have some grace for yourself on your campus, but have some love for yourself when you are off campus. Become a beer sommelier like Kyle. Become a graphic designer like Tyler and Doug. Right? Start picking up trash on the side of the road like me and turning it into something different. But when you get to do things that you love, you inspire others and you inspire yourself also. And sometimes you recognize yourself again. Sometimes you don't even know that you don't know who you are anymore until you start finding yourself again and get out of that rut. Because when you find joy in your life, you can bring joy back into your classroom. So whatever that is, find that joy. Find that passion and get going.
Kyle, now, as we wrap this up, Joe, I did a little digging while we were talking on the beer sommelier, and I actually learned it's not a sommelier, it's a cicerone. And there are four different levels to that. There is a certified beer server, and then there's different levels of cicerone. And now I looked, the first level, it's a $69 test you take online. I'm going to study for that and become a certified beer server and hopefully become a cicerone at some point. So
look at you. Okay. Mr. Cicerone is going to be, it's going to be Kyle, and you're getting, and look, you're finding joy right now while you're finding joy in the podcast.
If you're on YouTube, you can see the smile on my face.
It's amazing. And you can have this too, everybody. You can have this too. And I'm going to put it down into the analogy of Kyle and beer. It's not about the amount. It's about the quality. It's not about the amount of time you're spending on yourself. It's about the quality of time you are spending on yourself. It doesn't have to be something you're doing for others, for a profit, for anything, but other than bringing yourself joy. Again, if that's writing a blog post about your baking, if that's you doing a YouTube video about your Lego creation, if that's about you just, you know, binge watching a show and writing reviews of it on Netflix. Find something that brings you joy so that you can bring that joy back to your classroom, because we are all feeling the pressure and we need to release that pressure by finding ourselves once again. So how are you going to find your joy? How are you going to find yourself? How are you going to find something that really invokes that creative side of you that you know you have? Because when you find that creative side again, you're going to bring that in your classroom and amazing things will happen. So thank you so much for spending your hour with us. Thank you so much, whether it's the weekend or the weekday, whether it's your morning or your evening or your night. Thank you so much for being who you are. Thank you so much for putting all your time and effort into your profession for the benefit of your community, your staff, and your students. But most of all, thank you for choosing to become a teacher, because without you, the world stops and we need the world to keep moving forward. So thank you so much for joining us on the podcast by Sons of Technology. And as always, keep on innovating, keep on being you, and always get to that point.